Good morning! This is Macy.
And this is Anna.
And welcome back to Psych! Anna, thank God it's Friday.
Same thought. So Macy, what are your plans today?
Nothing interesting. But on another note, what is our topic for today?
Okay guys, so as we are gearing towards the end of the week, we think it would be great to discuss something interesting, you know?
Something controversial.
To spice up your week. So Macy, as somebody who's done a lot of psych experiments, can you tell the audience something pretty valuable or important that, you know, you've taken from it?
I think as psych students, we always value getting significant results. Like, we're always preoccupied to get certain results that we tend to forget the ethical implications that this comes with.
Yeah, I agree. So, I think, you know, aside from just lecturing our audience today on what ethics is and what ethics entails, probably a great way we could talk about ethics is something, you know, controversial. Have you heard about Little Albert?
Yes, I've heard about Little Albert. I believe that one of the greatest psych theories now is on Little Albert, right?
Yeah.
So, Anna, why don't you tell us a little more about Little Albert?
Okay, so basically, you know, Little Albert, it was one of the most famous experiments on classical conditioning, especially in humans. So what they did was that they wanted to see if you can condition something for, you know, a child to fear it. So for instance, with Little Albert in this case, whenever he would see a white rat, he would play with it, he was tasked to observe it and do whatever. But then, you know, there was never any fear. But then they wanted to manipulate this and control it in a way that an uncontrolled stimulus would become a controlled stimulus. So, for instance, when he would play with the rat, the experimenters, Watson and Rayner, they would create this loud noise that would make Little Albert scared. And because of that, they repeated that many times. And then when Little Albert saw that rat, he would then fear it. He would fear that white rat. But then after that, they also noticed that because of that fear of the white rat with the association of that loud noise, it became generalized to the fact that whenever he saw white furry objects, he would then be scared.
I remember. I even recall that these had ethical implications, because when they were about to reverse how they conditioned Little Albert was already discharged from the hospital. So they were not really able to reverse the effects, and he was able to have that fear of any white furry object until he grew up, right?
There's actually a lot of controversy and stories about, you know, there are other rumors that he died, or
he died earlier.
Or other rumors were it wasn't ethical at all because Little Albert already had this disability beforehand, and that it made it worse.
He did?
Yeah, apparently it made it worse because of his conditioning. So, you know, we're gonna get more into this, but surprisingly now, if you're gonna talk about Little Albert or bring it up, there are a lot of researches about it that, you know, it's not ethical at all. They wouldn't be ethical today if it was conducted. So I guess to further go into it, we've invited guests.
Yes! Are you excited?
Yeah, I'm excited!
Okay, so who is our guest for today? She actually shares the same or a similar story to Little Albert. Anna, tell us more.
Alright, so first of all, for confidentiality reasons and for her safety, we're going to address our guest today as Mary.
Mary!
So everybody, please welcome Mary to our show. Okay, so Mary, thank you again for joining us today, for joining Macy and I. We believe that you have a similar experience to what has happened to Little Albert. Can you please share to the audience and to us what happened?
I have experienced a similar situation with my daughter. She was diagnosed with a specific phobia towards water. So at the age of 5, she almost drowned in a pool. And because of this, she would never want to go to the beach, the pool, and she hates big bodies of water. We lived by the beach, so it was difficult for her to leave the house and enjoy family time outside our own homes. This has been going on for 2 years, and when my colleagues approached me with a proposition to help treat it, this involved introducing a new experimental kind of exposure therapy, which implied really putting her into a body of water while imagining pleasurable sensations.
Wow, that's a lot to take in. Mary, can you share with us or elaborate, what were your initial thoughts before going through the said experiment?
So at first, I was very hesitant. But after giving it some thought, I realized that it was a risk worth taking for the benefit of my child, not only as her mother, but also as a doctor in the field. It was something I decided to push through with, as I trusted everything my colleagues had informed me with regarding the proposed treatment.
Okay, so we see, we understand. So, you know, granted they were actually going to go through with what they promised, can you share more on what they promised you? Like, what were the compensations that further provoked you to agree to this experiment, to allow your child to go through with that?
Mm-hmm. In doing this, my child had a very high chance of overcoming her phobia. And at the time, that was the most important thing to me.
Wow, okay. So, overall, after everything, what were the effects? What were the main effects and the main outcomes that happened to your child or to your family, to the family members, friends, to everyone surrounding your child and your child?
After the experiment, she didn't want to shower. She doesn't drink water that isn't colored. And basically, she's afraid and unable to do anything that involves water. And moreover, this has posed negative effects not only on her mental well-being, but also with regards to her physical hygiene, becoming easily prone to developing sicknesses.
So considering the good and the bad, you know, with everything that's happened to you, your child, and everything else, would you say that, you know, as a doctor and as a mother, was it overall worth it? Do you think it, you know, the after effects are just really part of that, and that's just something you have to accept, or you feel indifferent, like you feel differently, and you would want to take further action, maybe even legal action?
No. And if I were to go back in time, I wouldn't have agreed to the procedure in the first place.
All right. So before we move on to our next guest, here is a short commercial break.
This podcast is brought to you by Bonokid.
Bigyan sila ng Bonakit Preschool 3 Plus for a triple boost advantage in growth, energy, and immunity.
So thank you, Mary, for sharing such personal details on what happened to your child and to your family and everybody else affected. We're really sorry that you all had to go through with it. Another note, like, we invited somebody today to help us go further into why exactly is this an issue, why should researchers prioritize this, and what moral and ethics should have been considered in your case, and even in little Albert's case. So, Macy, who is our guest for today?
Yes, for today we have invited a special guest to really evaluate the advantages, the disadvantages, the costs, and the benefits of the said experiment that was done to little Albert and Mary's child, exactly. So with that, let us all please join in welcoming Dr. Perez, one of the most renowned doctors in the field of psychology. Let us all give him a round of applause.
Please introduce yourself.
Ay, thank you. Salamat pala sa pagka-invita sa akin, Anna, Messi. Maraming salamat ulit. Ako po pala si Dr. Perez. Matagal na po ako nag-aaral sa larangan ng psikolohiya at isa pong malaki po ang aking inaalay na oras at pagmamahal para sa larangan na ito. Maraming salamat.
Maraming salamat po, Dr. Perez. Oh, okay, so can you please elaborate and explain to the audience what really is research ethics and what does it mean?
Yun nga, no? So sa research ethics nga tayo muna. Bali, ang ethics kasi, sistema yan ng moral principles. Diba? Moral guidelines ito, kumbaga. Dito malalaman natin, dapat natin tatandaan kung alin ba ang tama at sa mali. Dapat palagi natin tinatandaan na hindi tayo makakasakit ng ibang tao. Ngayon, punta naman tayo sa basic tenets of research ethics. Ngayon, i-Englishin ko muna dahil para mas madaling maintindihan ng mga tao.
Ibabase ito sa textbook ng mga nag-aaral ng psikolohiya. So, una-una, society decides what is right and wrong. Pangalawa, responsibility lies with the experimenter. Pangatlo, minimal risk versus at risk. Pang-apat, informed consent and freedom to decline. Pang-lima, cost-benefit analysis. At panghuli, may confidentiality and debriefing procedures.
Okay, Dr. Perez, so sa mga nabanggit nyo po ng mga tenets ng research, alin po kaya doon ang mga kailangan bigyang pangpansin at mas kailangan tutukan dahil hindi na ito nabibigyang kahalagahan ng mga estudyante, ng mga profesor, at ng mga nag-aaral ng psikolohiya?
Yung para sa akin, no, ang tingin ko, kailangan pang bigyan pansin, bigyan ng focus, ang tatlong pinaka basic lang, pero nakakalimutan palagi ng mga tenants sa research. Una-una, yung minimal risk versus at risk. Kung ihahambing ko ito sa sitwasyon ni Mary at ni Little Albert, no, ito ay malaking, kung ito ay binigyan pansin, hindi sana hindi na nangyari sa kanila ang nangyari sa kanila. Sa minimal risk, dapat lagi iniisip na ang risk na ibinibigay ay hindi lalagpas sa kung ano man ang nararanasan sa araw-araw. At ang at-risk naman ay ang research ay mas nagbibigay ng problema na mas malala pa sa mga na encounter sa bawat araw. No? Yun.
Alright, so thank you, Dr. Perez, for sharing your insights when it comes to minimal risk versus at-risk. Obviously, when it comes to these two aspects, consent is always just an important thing, especially when it comes to at-risk experiments. But obviously, sometimes students or people in the field have a difficulty detecting how could it be an at-risk experiment or what makes it a minimal risk experiment. One of the most basic things to think about probably is that if it's a minimal risk thing, then that means that the person or your participants will go through something that, you know, they don't. It's not a risk that. It's not more than everyday life. But if it's an at-risk thing, then it obviously has to go through several processes for it to be reviewed and looked upon. And overall, like, that's why, for instance, like, there are experiments, like, for instance, like, when you talk about quasi-experimental designs, like, let's say if you want to see the effect on alcohol consumption and academic achievement or academic performance, you know, you don't make your participants drink alcohol or become, you know, addicted to alcohol for that matter. You already look for participants who have a regular alcohol consumption based on the conceptual or operational definition needed by your experiment.
Para naman sa pangalawa, no, yung pangalawa, cost-benefit analysis. Very simple. Tatandaan lang na dapat kinukumpara ng mga experimenter kung ano ba ang mga sakripisyo, ano ba ang cost na kailangan maibigay sa research at kailangan matumbas ito sa benepisyong matatanggap, no?
I agree, no, with what Dr. Perez said na ang cost-benefit analysis talaga namang simple lang yan. You just have to weigh the cost and the benefits of what the experiment will entail, and the benefits always have to outweigh the cost. However, with Little Albert and most especially with Mary, hindi ata nila na-weigh na possible na mas lumala pa yung naging sickness or naging phobia nung son or daughter ni Mary, and I don't think that risk overpowers or outweighs the benefits that he or she can receive. Don't get me wrong, I acknowledge that there was a potential benefit that maybe or possibly the phobia couldn't be taken out. However, there is also a risk that it can get worse, which was not recognized, it was not acknowledged. So I think overall, I agree with Mary. If I was in her position, I wouldn't have gone through it if I were given the chance.
At panghuli, no, ang pinaka-importante para sa akin, ito yung the responsibility rises with the experimenter. Bali dito, kailangan tatandaan ng mga experimenter na kung ano man ang mangyari sa mga partisipante nila, masama man ito, maganda, ang responsibilidad ay nakasalalay sa kanila. Kailangan rin tandaan ng bawat experimenter na ang paglabas ng isang, pagpasok pala ng isang participant, dapat paglabas ay ganun pa rin sila.
Overall, I guess, like, even if your experiment places somebody at minimal risk, and most especially when it places somebody at an at-risk situation, and even if your participants always give their full consent, experimenters at the end of the day are always going to be responsible for this. It's really just a matter of decency, respect, and obviously going back to basic fundamental human rights. And in this case, we must always be vigilant in running these things, not only for our participants, but for us as well. And with Mary's case, she trusted her colleague so much, and she wanted the best for her daughter, that the unfortunate turn of events, it was very unfortunate for her, and it's sad that these experimenters aren't taking full responsibility now.
And with that, I think we can end today's show by again reminding our audiences to always keep ethics in mind when you are conducting research experiments.
Yes, so, you know, even though if this is like one of the most basic things everybody learns when you conduct psychological experiments, it's important to keep in mind that the overall well-being of your participants and your well-being as well is more important than the desired results of your experimentations.
We'd like to thank Dr. Perez
and Mary.
Thank you for tuning in. Again, I am Macy.
And I am Anna.
And this has been
Psych!
Moms, a new and improved Bonakit Preschool 3 Plus, my new look. At increased levels of key nutrients for growth, energy, and immunity. Now with nucleotides, yan ang mas pinatatag na triple boost formula. Para sa mas matatag na paglaki ng mga batang 3 pataas, try ang mas pinatatag na Bonakit Preschool 3 Plus.